Good morning, everybody. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio, and it is the 26th of September, 2023. As I mentioned yesterday on the podcast, I can't believe September is almost over already, but it is. Okay, so welcome, everybody, to today's show. We have a wonderful guest today. We're going to talk about reading and the science of reading and helping kids read and helping teachers to help kids read. We've got Laura Stewart, who is the chief academic officer of 95% Group. And they're a good organization. We're going to find out what the name means, how they work, what they're looking for, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going to be a nice show. And reading is so much in the education news these days. Okay, we all know what's going on, science of reading, Lucy Calkins, tell a story, whatever it was. So it's going to be an interesting show, and I'm looking forward to having Ms. Laura Stewart on the show with us today. I'm Larry Jacobs. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's our home website for our American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. We'll archive the show over there like we do with every podcast. Our magazine is over there, which is an online journal called Equity and Access Pre-K-12. And our Equity Awards information is over there. And that's a chance for all you educators out there in pre-K-12 to honor yourselves, your colleagues, your school, etc., with our Excellence in Equity Awards. The industry side of that just closed, and now we're moving on to the educator side. So it's going to be really, really interesting. Check it all out over at ace-ed.org. And by the way, everything we do over there is free. Everything we do, let me say it again, is free. So please go over, check out ace-ed.org. And without further ado, good morning, Laura Stewart. I'm Larry. How are you, Laura?
Well, good morning, Larry. Thank you for the warm welcome. I'm excited to be here, and thank you for all the work that you're doing. It's really important work. Well,
thank you very much for saying that. I appreciate it. You too. You got an incredible background here. I know you're with the Reading. I got the notes here. The Reading League, Highlights Education Group, Roland Reading Foundation. Now you work with 95% Group, and I know they only hire people named Laura because I know Laura Sullivan over there very well. So you're another Laura.
Yeah, we have a lot of Lauras here for some reason.
I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, if you're Irish, it's Tora Laura Laura. What can I tell you? It's Tora Laura Laura. That kind of thing. It's great to have you here. It's nice to meet you, really.
Thank
Congratulations.
You.
How long have you been with 95%?
I've been with 95% Group about 18 months.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, and we are really rapidly growing.
I know.
Growing, you know, internally, but also we're growing in our impact. It's a really, really exciting place to be.
Yeah, it really is, and it's a good company. We're going to talk about that in detail. And actually, let's just start. Why don't you just tell everybody? I gave a brief cursory overview of the company. Laura, your chief academic officer, tell everybody what the company is, and you can say why it's called 95% Group. But also, this will be interesting to our audience of educators. What does the chief academic officer do? I don't mean to sound stupid.
What do you do
all day? Your boss wanted me to ask you that. What do you do all day, Laura? No, seriously, chief academic officer, which is a great title, but what's that really mean? I know people will be interested in that.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for asking that. Well, I'll start by telling you a little bit about our company, and then I'll tell you about what it is I actually do. So 95% Group, we're an educational publishing company, and we offer professional learning, and we also offer classroom resources in the area of literacy, and we really primarily focus on foundational skills. I would say our approach is really based on that body of research known as the science of reading.
Yep.
And I would also characterize our instructional methodology that's inherent and baked into our resources would be structured literacy, an approach that is explicit, systematic, sequential, and cumulative instruction. So that's kind of a broad sweep of what we do. The founders of the company called it 95% Group because we approach all of our work knowing that with evidence-aligned instruction, at least 95% of our students can learn to read. There's evidence behind this. We believe this to be true. I call this our North Star, and it really drives everything we do. You know, we have a purpose statement. Our purpose is to unlock the power of literacy for every child.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that by building on this science to empower teachers and make sure our teachers have the knowledge and the resources and the support that they need to deliver on that promise I mean, you know this, we promise our communities and our nation that we are going to ensure that students are literate citizens of the world. And we really wanted to deliver on that promise. So that really is our North Star, that belief that with the right instruction at the right time, you know, we can deliver on that promise. And we want to make sure that teachers have what they need to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So I was very attracted to coming on to 95% Group as our chief academic officer because of that driving belief that all students can learn to read. That's really been the passion project of my entire career. You mentioned I've you know, had a lot of different roles, and you're right, I've been around for a long time. I started as a teacher, an administrator, and have moved into other areas. But I
that's
still
not a
kind
bad rise in title for a 29-year-old. You're doing great, Laura. You're doing great.
Why, thank you. Why, thank
you,
Larry.
No problem.
I so appreciate that. I guess
no problem.
You know me well. You know me well. But really,
I'm
truly,
sorry, I'm at 31.
You know,
go ahead.
Thank you. Well, okay. Yeah, again. I always say that. 39 again.
Again. Yep.
But, you know, it's really been my – I share this with people all the time. I actually have a mission statement on the wall of my office that I want to contribute in whatever way I can to ensure that all children learn to read joyfully, enabling them to flourish as literate citizens of the 21st century. And I've kept that for a long time in whatever role I've played. So coming to 95% Group was an honor and a privilege. It's a great company. It's a great place to be.
Yeah,
all of
nice
us
people.
Are really aligned in our vision, right? And then as a chief academic officer, there's a couple things I get to do, and I really mean that. Like when I get up in the morning, I'm like, I get to do this work, right? But one of the things that I get to do is to really help, you know, kind of drive that vision for what we are going to offer the world. And we offer to the world what we're calling our 195 ecosystem, which I can tell you more about that. But so that's part of it. And the other part is to speak, like I'm doing here, about the science of reading and to help proliferate the understanding that we know so much about how children learn to read and what instruction needs to look like, you know, to be effective and to really help magnify that voice of 95% Group, and at the same time also help lead our professional learning organization, which is a dynamite group of dedicated people who are out there in classrooms, you know, doing training, doing foundational skills courses, and also doing what I think is the most important work we do, which is coaching in classrooms and really supporting teachers, like I said, you know, in building that knowledge and using those resources and giving them that side-by-side support they need to do the work at hand, the important work at hand.
Mm-hmm. That was a great overview. Thank you. Okay,
no,
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I mean, okay, it's great. You know, I have a couple of questions I was writing down here, and my first comment is this. You know, you mentioned the science of reading, and that that phrase has the word science in it, okay? And you mentioned that a couple of times. When I graduated Teachers College, okay, I got a BS, a Bachelor's of Science, but in education. But unfortunately, back when I was there, certainly a million years ago, science had nothing to do with it. Nothing. Today, and this is why I think what you said is very important, we have neuroscience, okay? We know how people learn. And I think this is one of the challenges of education these days, is that people don't appreciate a teacher, and I don't think their training reflects it as well as it should, of the science of learning.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
When we get a company like yours who keeps saying it's science, we need the evidence. We can't just go willy-nilly and read Dick and Jane. Okay. That was good, but it wasn't what we really needed. Yeah, and believe me, you know all the controversies going on with this. Sold the story. I said tell a story before. Sold the story. The reading controversy, Lucy Calkins, and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in a minute. But my point is we have to do more with the science. And if you do more with the science, people will respect the profession far, if I may, far more than they do now. Okay, we're really learning facilitators, learning scientists, and then we know this, and we have to change the way we train and the way we project the profession. So I like what you're doing. That's my point on all that. Science and evidence and data, and that's the way you teach. And I also like what you said. I have to say this. you didn't say you're going to help kids read. You said you're going to empower mm-hmm. teachers to help them read. And I thought that was a great way to phrase that, because that's so important these days, because teachers are under so much pressure, I got to tell you. One question. Okay, I love 95% group. I do. I know your company. Okay. But, you said 95% of kids can learn to read. And I just have to ask this. I never asked this before. Okay, why not 100%? Well, what's the 5%? Where's the gap? And I mean, you can never get to perfection. You know what I mean. But
yeah,
you
sure
made
do.
A point of saying, I'm just curious. Why can't we teach that other 5%? Or is that the best we can ever do? I don't know.
Well, and actually our statement is that with evidence-line instruction, we can teach 95% or more.
Thank you.
Right. So,
because you kept saying all kids, we can help all kids, we can help all kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably can. I don't know. But I'm just curious the way you said it, and it was just interesting to me. You know,
if we can get
95% of kids to love reading, I'll be very happy, by the way. I'll be extremely happy.
Me too. And I do think it's important, and I'm glad you asked that, because I think it's important to clarify that, you know, barring any severe cognitive challenges, you know, we can't. Reading is a learned skill. You know, it's not something we're born knowing how to do. It is something that is, and it's something that is learned. And what gives me the greatest hope at this point in my career is the fact that we are attending, as you said, to the science. And you know, I'm guessing, Larry, you're 39 like I am.
Yes,
so
I
went through teacher.
Yes.
So I went through teacher prep about the same time you did, and it was not based on the science at all. And I will
tell you, we wore togas to college. We wore togas, and year hadn't been invented.
Oh,
so what can I tell you?
Oh gosh. And I will tell you that the science of reading is so critically important for today's students, and it's also important for today's teachers. I value and honor teachers and their contributions, and that's why this work is so important to me. And I will tell you, I came up during, you know, the years of whole language. Many teachers today are still being brought up under that methodology. I have had teachers literally cry when they learn about the science of reading, when they enact structured literacy in their classrooms, and they see the impact of students. I have had teachers say, I feel so terrible, I didn't know this. And I always say to teachers, this is a no shame, no blame zone.
We didn't
know what we didn't know. And when now that we do better, right? That's all we can do. And I like to also just reiterate, I want to punch this up, you know, the science of reading is, it's not something we do. It's a body of research that informs us, you know, how children learn to read, how can best teach students, you know, what happens when things go wrong, what we can do about it. And you mentioned the neuroscience. This is what blows my mind. You know, this body of evidence has been around for 5 decades, Larry, and it's informed by multiple fields of study, neuroscience, cognitive science, communication science, developmental psychology, special ed, implementation science. So it isn't a philosophy. It's not a political agenda, but it's also not static. You know, it's not static and it's not unchanging. We need to follow the science. There is no, distinct and etched in granite body of science. It's always evolving. We're always learning and we're always growing into it. And I think that's really important. And we at 95% Group have made a commitment to following the science and, you know, making changes if we need to our programs and materials and resources. In order to provide teachers with the best possible resources and knowledge.
To me, and again, I hold the teacher education schools in many cases responsible for this. Okay, because teaching can be very anecdotal, if I may. But anecdotal is fine as far as it goes. But you need. You need scientific evidence. You need evidence and support. I'll give you a classic example. I did a show last week. I had no idea of this, about equitable grading. You'll love this. Okay. It was with Joe Feldman. You look him up, everybody. He's at Crescendo Education Group. I had no idea how grading is. I'll just show you this. I'm comparing it to reading. Grading, okay, is probably one of the most important things we do for the kids. and yet there is no rhyme or reason to the way we grade. It becomes anecdotal per teacher. And you may think mm-hmm. you've got the test score, but the teacher teaching the same thing in the next classroom is doing it differently. Yeah. Okay? Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. not good. That's not good. Mm-hmm. His standing mm-hmm. joke was, that's why the kids always want to get Mr. Jacobs as opposed to Ms. Stewart, okay, because he's easier. Mm-hmm. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're both mm-hmm. teaching the same things. Okay? And it's the same thing with reading. It's not up to the individual. There's a science behind it. That's what you guys at 95% Group are doing. There's a science behind it. Mm-hmm. You know? And I have to ask you this. Yeah. Who is an expert on this? Because I'm not an expert. My wife has a degree in reading. Okay? But I'm far mm-hmm. from an expert in it. Okay? What is the state of reading these days? If you just kind of had to sum up reading, are kids reading more? Are they getting enough out of it? How's it be? You know what I mean? How's reading these days?
Yeah, yeah. Are you talking about reading from the kid's point of view or from the teacher's point of view?
Do it whichever way you want. What's going on with reading these days? Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a big question, but yeah, you can do it.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. So one of a woman I consider a friend and a colleague, and I know everybody probably listening knows her, Dr. Marianne Wolf. She wrote Proust in the Squid, and she really writes about reading in the brain and what do we know about the human brain in the function of reading. Yes. She wrote a wonderful book called Reader Come Home, and it was about reading in the digital age, and I highly recommend it because I think we're all grappling with what's the difference between reading print and reading screens. And she basically, supports this idea that, listen, you know, when we read with screens, we tend to do more shallow reading. And I think that's definitely true. You know, we've got multiple inputs, and it tends to be very shallow. That's a fact of life. That's not going to go away. However, what we really also want to build with kids is those deep neural systems that come through print reading, that come through deep engagement, and those deep neural systems of reading allow us to, and I think this is one of the most important things, develop empathy for the other. Like, think about when you read a fiction selection or even a nonfiction selection, and it's about something or somewhere or someone outside of yourself. And when you have that deep connection to that literature, it allows you literally to develop empathic connections, whereas shallow reading doesn't. And so how important is it that we as educators not only acknowledge that we have screen reading and access to all kinds of information that we didn't have access to before. Like, that's the advantage of having, all this electronic devices and this access to mountains of data and information. Yeah. But we also want to build these deep neural systems that allow us to read and read deeply. So I think when I go back to our work, right, like, how does our work impact that? First of all, we have to build those neural systems that allow kids to get the text off the page, understand the alphabetic code. English is a written alphabetic system. So first we have to build that so kids can have fluency in getting the text off the page. Once they have that accuracy and fluency and automaticity, that is when it really opens up for them. That's when the world of reading really opens up to them. So our charge in the early grades is to get that neural system built, right? The system that just connects visual and auditory and vocabulary meaning so that kids can get the text off the page and understand what the words mean. Then they can deeply engage in more complex text, which allows them to develop that deep love of reading. So when people say to me, oh, Laura, those foundational skills, it's just skill and drill. I mean, I remember coming up as a teacher, and it was kind of an anti-phonics movement because it's all skill and drill. It's going to somehow, kill the love of reading. But you can't love what you can't do. And so we want to, and we know so much about how to build this neural system with our young students to allow them to get the text off the page with accuracy, fluency, and comprehension that then will allow them to grapple with more sophisticated and more complex text. So that to me is the runway. Like when I think about the foundational
yeah.
skills, to me that's the runway to those, to that deep reading that we want all of our kids to have. I always think about, I want students to lead a literate life and to
yes.
enjoy
yes.
the
yes.
The gifts of a literate life. I don't want students to just have reading as information gathering or reading as, you know, a surface level endeavor. I want students to have those moments that I had and I still have when I deeply engage with text. You know?
you know, it's a, by the way, it's the title of your next book, The Gifts of a Literate Life. That's a great title for a book. That's a great
yeah.
title for a book. I got to tell you. And, you know, I
All
have
right.
to say this, but I'm going to talk about other stuff, but I got to tell you, I sometimes think about this, and I don't think I ever thought about it when I was a kid, because you don't think about these things, but learning to read, okay, is and somebody teaching you to read, okay, is
yeah.
an absolute miracle
mm-hmm.
as far as I'm concerned.
Oh,
if you really,
yeah.
all they are there are symbols that could be different symbols, like they are in a different
yeah.
alphabet, okay?
Yeah.
It's a miracle.
Yeah.
Okay, there's symbols
yeah.
on the page, and somehow yeah. we're able to, duh, this makes sense, this is in scribble. You know,
yeah,
and
it's
when you think about it deep down, like you're saying, neurally deep, okay, it's really
mm-hmm.
it's just an amazing thing, and it has to be done right, and you have to enjoy it, because that's our goal
yeah.
is to have kids read, become literate, and all that sort of stuff. You don't have to just read tech manuals. You can actually read novels, okay? It's that simple.
Yeah.
And you mentioned this. I wanted to ask you this. I want you to talk about something you mentioned, the 195, again, 95% group. This is one,
mm-hmm.
O-N-E, 195 ecosystem. What does
mm-hmm.
that mean? What does that mean?
Yeah.
You guys are using that phrase.
And yeah,
since you did say it,
that.
I want to hear what it means. Yeah.
Yeah,
please.
Thanks for asking about that, because I'm really excited
problem.
About our approach. So we have a, I would call it a suite of instructional resources, and we have carefully kind of curated that suite so to have these characteristics. Number one, they're aligned across the tiers of instruction. So when we think about, you know, tier one instruction is general core instruction, tier two is intervention, tier three is intensive intervention. And we want to provide resources and instructional protocols for teachers that are aligned across tiers of instruction and consistent across tiers of instruction. So that means that we use the same academic language, the same routines, the
yeah.
same procedures,
yeah.
so students and teachers can move seamlessly, you know, within those tiers of instruction and across grades. And I always tell people, you know, never underestimate the power of that alignment. When a student, an early reader, or especially when a struggling reader, you know, hears magic E in her tier one instruction, and then it's called silent E in intervention, that student doesn't necessarily know it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So alignment of academic language
yep.
and alignment of routines is really important. You know, we don't have any time to waste, Larry. I mean, you know this, right?
No.
We have no time to waste with our students. So when we
yeah.
think about
sure.
high-impact instructional routines, if those routines are replicable and scalable across tiers and grades, that allows our kids to really hit the ground running in instruction and focus on the content of what they're learning, not on the procedures of the routines that they're using. And I think this really is a differentiator for us in the marketplace, because our kids then can move across tiers of instruction and across grades and have that common language, those common routines. So their bandwidth, their cognitive bandwidth can really focus on the content that they're learning. This is beneficial for teachers as well. Like when I think about myself as a teacher, you know, if I had replicable, scalable routines that I used with my kids, that we could just, you know, move into instruction rather than spend every day thinking about, okay, what are we doing today? How is it different? You know, that is really beneficial to me as a teacher. So that alignment is really critical to our ecosystem. Another really important characteristic of our ecosystem is evidence alignment and evidence-based. So when I think
That's
about
right.
evidence, right? We
yeah.
want our materials to be evidence aligned. That's aligned with this body of research known as the science of reading, aligned with the structured literacy protocols and methodology. But evidence-based is a really unique characteristic of our ecosystem, and that is you know, efficacy studies, you know, having studies that prove that an instructional move or an instructional program is effective. And, you know, publishers rarely invest in these because they're very expensive, they're time-consuming, they're hard to do, and I am really proud that we as a company, 95% Group, we've made that decision to invest in a wide range of efficacy studies across our product lines, and we have made the commitment to continue to invest in those. So our ecosystem also has the characteristic of evidence alignment and evidence-based. The other thing I would say that is unique about us is that our phonics ecosystem is really data-driven. We have a dynamite diagnostic assessment that can really pinpoint where a student is receiving needs to receive intervention. So in Tier 1, when we do a screener and we identify our kids at risk, we give them a diagnostic that then pinpoints where in intervention they need that instruction to fill that gap. Then we have progress monitoring tools to ensure that the students, the instruction is having the desired effect so that they're not caught in what I call the cul-de-sac of intervention, that the intervention is working, we want to monitor that, and then exit them from that intervention. So the diagnostic tools and the progress monitoring tools are critical to our ecosystem. So I would say that ecosystem, you know, the alignment and the consistency and the evidence and the data, last thing I'll say about the ecosystem, our ecosystem needs to be wrapped around by professional learning. And this company, 95% Group, actually started as a professional learning consultant group. Yeah. Our founders, Susan and David Hall, decided to start the company really to build the knowledge base of teachers so that teachers can, again, you know, deliver on their promise and their greatest goal as teachers, which is to teach their students to read. We have been a legacy of high-impact professional learning. We have, and I'm really so proud to be able to lead the professional learning group, amazing consultants and leaders and contractors who provide product training, you know, how to use our product, but they also provide the foundational knowledge building. So we have courses that our teachers can go through to just build their knowledge around the science of reading. And then we also, what I consider our crown jewel is our coaching. You know, we go into classrooms with teachers and, you know, model lessons for teachers, watch teachers, debrief with teachers, talk about areas of challenge, talk about students. What can we help you with? What can we recommend? That is the best bang for, if any of our administrators are listening, that's the best bang of your professional learning buck is to have coaches who are in classrooms side by side with teachers. You know, the for example, the Joyce and Showers research, there's a lot of research around coaching and how high impact it is. Building knowledge is important, but having the right resources and the right tools in teachers' hands, that's critical, and then coaching to ensure that those tools are used to their maximum impact.
It's so important, Laura. That was a great overview, I got to tell you. And I wanted to ask you this, and because I'm not a reading teacher. What grades are we talking about? When you think about 95% Group, where are we going on pre-K-12?
Yeah, so we primarily are focused on the elementary grades. Mm-hmm. We have, and this is one thing that, I'm just really proud of, and I think it's distinctive in the marketplace. We have a phonics word study core program, tier one program, that goes all the way from K through five. A lot of phonics programs only go K-3. It's like, okay, we're done, but we're not because our fourth and fifth graders need to continue word study to grapple with complex text, you need to understand how to decode multisyllabic words, and you also need to understand multisyllabic.
Oh, syllabic. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. So, like,
I know
think
a big
about,
word too, delicatessen. I know a big word.
Yeah, right. When we think about.
I just didn't hear you. I wasn't sure what you said. Go ahead. Yeah, multisyllabic.
So, when we think about early phonics skills, we want to teach our kids to decode words. And we, you know, early on, we focus primarily on single syllable words. But, you know, a lot of our kids can be proficient and also need strategies to be able to unlock a big word. Because one thing we see, and when I share this with teachers, they all nod their heads. In fourth and fifth grade, a lot of times our students will encounter a big word and they literally don't know what to do. So they'll skip over it or they'll guess. And so word study has to continue on beyond third grade to help our kids unlock those big words, and also to help our kids develop morphology, an understanding of morphology, because when you think about those big words, how do you understand the meaning of those words? Well, again, the high utility, best bang for our buck, is to teach kids the morphological underpinnings of our language so that they can generalize, you know, from one word to the next. So word study beyond, you know, third grade and beyond really focuses a lot more on those strategies that kids need to have. You know, phonics doesn't end, you know, when you learn to decode a word. There's more to it. So I'm sharing that to say that our focus is in the elementary grades. However, we also have intervention products that are into the middle school as
well. That's important. Yeah. And you know why it's important? I taught 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade history, social studies. What can I say? Thank you for that blessing. Okay. But we didn't know if kids could read or not. We just assumed they could read.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And literally, I had no idea or any way, literally, of knowing if a kid could read. So I was probably giving D's and E's or F's or whatever they were back then, okay, to kids who just couldn't read.
Couldn't read.
How can they understand what we're talking about here? How can they even read a test? Okay. How can they write a test if you can't read? Okay. And I think it's very important that all teachers, certainly through middle school, understand this, okay? Because I use this story a lot, but I've heard of kids who graduated from a big urban district. They were top of their class, all A's and B's, and they got to community college, and they're reading at a fourth grade level, okay? And it's just not fair. On that note, as we wind down here, I want to ask, I'm going to throw my favorite word out, which is equity. Okay. All the work that you folks do, I mean, I'm going to throw that word out to you. Just talk about equity with kids and how this works across the whole spectrum of kids, be they male, female, racial, however you want to divide it, rural, urban, whatever. What's the equity factor?
Yeah. So I do think it's important for us to really recognize that we want to provide equitable access to high quality instruction for all students. And as we've talked about before, you know, some of our teachers come to the profession not well prepared and through no fault of their own, but not well prepared in the science of reading. So our purpose is to make sure that all teachers have access to that knowledge. And importantly, all teachers have access to tools and resources that allow them to actualize the science in their classrooms.
It's so key, and
that's again one of the reasons I was proud to come on to 95% Group, because you know, one of the things that I hear sometimes, an administrator might say, well, our teachers, you know, we believe in teacher autonomy, but in fact I think that can be disempowering to teachers.
It's absolutely,
because what you're saying is, well, you know, you figure it out. Well, I think that doesn't provide students with an equitable experience. You know, you mentioned, you know, students who would rather be in, you know, Mr. Cooper's class than Miss Stewart's class. Yeah.
Would rather be in Cooper's than Stewart's. You're so good. I can't believe that.
I
don't even know Cooper. Yeah. Anyway.
But I do think, and I think that's the, you know, that's the importance of a really strong literacy leader, you know, who recognizes that, hey, our teachers need the knowledge, they need the tools, and they need the support, because teachers come to us in all different the spectrum of preparation, right?
Yeah, of course.
So to me, that equitable access to instruction begins with making sure our teachers are well prepared, no matter what school they're in, no matter what body of students they're teaching. And that takes bold leadership sometimes.
It does.
Right?
It does. You can't bag out and say teacher autonomy. That's not the job. That's not the job of leadership. I mean, it's important to respect teachers. Don't misunderstand that. And they're good at what they do. Most of them are pretty damn good at what they do.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? But you got to have a system that works through a K-12 system in many different classrooms. If you don't do
that,
you're going to have trouble later, because everybody's all over the place. Okay? And
that's
I know
right.
it's brutal to say that, but it's true. Laura, this is great. I hope we can do more. This is just terrific. I really enjoyed this. It's fun.
Oh, thank you, Larry.
I hope you did too.
I really enjoyed it. I could go on and on. I really could.
Thank you for giving me an opportunity. We can't do it today, but hopefully we will in the future. Okay, it's good stuff.
I would love that.
Yeah, we'll be in touch.
Thanks so much.
We'll be in touch,
okay.
I promise you.
Thanks, Larry.
Okay?
Thank you
and,
so much.
And thank you. What can I say? Thank you. Enjoy my old stomping grounds. Where are you guys? In Deerfield? Where are you?
Actually, yeah, Lincolnshire. Uh-huh.
Lincolnshire. Couldn't think of it. Yeah, yes. I used to live in Deerfield. Yeah.
We
lived in Deerfield and McHenry. We lived in Deerfield and McHenry.
Same neck of the woods. Yeah.
There you go. Where do you live? If I may ask, where do you live?
Sure. I live in a western suburb called Geneva.
Oh, sure.
Outside of Chicago, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that used to be a million miles away. Now that was one of the inner suburbs.
It used to be nuts. Right. It used to
it's
be farm country out here,
yeah.
But now it's just part of the whole sprawl for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you the best piece of trivia, McHenry, Illinois, which you have heard of course. McHenry.
Yes, I have. Yeah.
Okay. McHenry is named for the same guy Fort McHenry is named for. Same guy, Washington's Secretary of Defense or Secretary of War. There you go.
Did not know that.
There you go.
I learned something
See?
Every
That's why we're
day.
Here. The old history teacher comes
that.
Through. Laura, thanks
Thank
a million.
That.
I appreciate this. You're really good. It's good to have you on the show. Thanks.
Oh,
you know
my
yourself.
Pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I'll talk to you again soon.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Laura Stewart, everybody, who's the chief academic officer at the 95% group, and Susan and David have done a great job of building that company up, and they do good work. I've only heard great things about what they do. Okay, so... check it out, 95% group. And the way you look that up, it's the number's 95, then spell out percentgroup.com. I got it linked here on the website. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. Good show. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Laura. Oh, yeah, if you need me, it's Larry at ace-ed.org. Always happy to answer you and talk to you.